Welcome to New Realities. This program is about the exploration of our consciousness, our evolution, our ongoing illumination, I would say. And tonight's guest is very much a part of this local phenomenon here in New York. She's the author of Journey of the Angels of New York. I'm talking to Sylvia Moss, a good friend. Sylvia, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Yes, I'm excited about it. What we'll talk about tonight is this new book that's out for the holidays, Angels of New York. And you've taken some beautiful pictures of the statues of angels around New York, but they're more than just statues. Talk about what your inspiration behind the book was, okay?
Okay. Well, actually, the inspiration is several folds. I was an architectural photographer. And I had been just taking pictures of angels as I would come across them. And a very close friend of mine who happened to be an Episcopal priest had seen a lot of them and one day said to me, you know, why don't you do a book? And that was it. I mean, I'd been trying to figure out what I was supposed to be doing with these photographs for so long. And that was really sort of the basis of the inspiration. But also the more deeper, soulful inspiration was that when I photograph, I noticed that I would go deep within what was inside the lens. It was almost like a meditation. And so when I was doing that with angels, it sort of woke something up in me. And when I would be finishing photographing an angel looking through the lens for a while, because you have to do all those adjustments, and I noticed that I was so calm and peaceful. And then I would run around and do some more photography, and I would get all roused up again, and I'd come to another angel, and I'd get peaceful. And so I thought, wait a minute, something's going on here. So it became very clear to me that I was picking up on the essence that had been channeled to the artist that was still embedded in these pieces of art. And from there, it just, you know, took off.
So you don't think, so there's like a presence, is that what you're feeling, of angelic presence in these statues?
Yes, it's not so much that I actually feel it, that I know that it's happening, but it's happening to me. It's like when you're in a meditation, or if you're listening to a great piece of music, you just sort of go with it, and then afterwards, you realize something has happened to you. It's more like that. It's not an awareness that's happening at the actual time that I'm aware of.
So do you think possibly they are, the artist then, I guess you said it, is accessing the angelic realm, and the
yes.
angel itself is manifesting in these forms?
Yes. What I think is, because I think all artists channel because they get these incredible images, whatever the art is, writers, musicians, whatever the art is, I really believe that we channel it maybe from another part of ourselves or from a higher source. But I think with these angels, when they were being crafted, because some of these angels are not just statues, they're stained glass, they're wood, they're on the sides of buildings. I think that the essence of that, it was like sitting for a portrait. It's like this angel was a portrait, was a sitting. That's what I think. And that specific angel came to that artist. Now, that sounds really far-fetched, and a lot of people may think that's a little too far-fetched. But I really, the more I've been involved in it, I really see that that's happening. And then I was able to, I feel and think that I was able to connect to that place and bring it into the photographs. Because it's been said to me on several occasions when people have looked at the book as it was printed, you know, looking at it on a computer is totally different than in a physical book. But when people have the book in their hand and they're looking at the images, there's something that comes off the pages.
Is that because of the vibration you were in when you took the picture?
I'm not sure. I would like to think that, I would like to think that, but I really think that the angel's essence did come through the lens of that camera.
Well, let's talk about what, when we say angels, what are we talking about? I mean, I just interviewed Lorna Byrne, who sees guardian angels, and there's other people who see angels, but what are angels according to you?
They are an energy. They are a consciousness. And I read somewhere, I wish I remembered where I read it, because I would have put it in the book, but I don't remember, is that, I just lost my train of thought, sorry.
You read something about angels, you were going to put it in the book.
Right.
And what do you think that was? What would you have put in the book if you read it?
That they are a consciousness. I know what it was. Yes, sorry. That when they're a consciousness, just like the higher forces, the higher source, God, whoever one talks to when they pray, that these angels, they come to the artist in the physical form because they, on some level, they have, because they're wiser than we are, they know that that's how we would recognize them. But really what they are is light and consciousness.
But what are they? They're light and consciousness. Are they evolved souls? Are they, some people say angels never incarnated.
Thank you. That's a really good point. I've also read this on several levels, several places, that they are on several different levels. That some angels do not incarnate into bodies. Some angels do. And there are a lot of human beings walking around on the planet and in New York, and if you just look at them, you know that they are from the angelic world. They're from the fairy kingdom. You can look at people in their bodies. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people know, people have told me, oh, I'm an angel. You know that, don't you? I was an angel in another lifetime.
Well, you seem very angelic yourself, knowing you and knowing who you are. I mean, you're connected to something. Would you think that maybe even photographs bring more of that angelic form because we're really playing with light in a photograph?
Yes, that's a very good point. Thank you. Just like the orbs.
The orbs,
I'm told. I mean, I don't know if most of your audience knows about the orbs.
Yeah, they do.
I've
done shows about
that. So the orbs, I've been told, some orbs are, well, actually, some people call some of the larger orbs archangels. Mm. That they say that the orbs are the same thing as an angel. They are the energy of an angel.
Oh, I think so. I think they are angelic. Yeah. I mean, I think there's
some... That they're spirit. They're spirit forms.
Right.
Of some sort. And I believe just from doing all of this, you know, I got deeper and deeper into the research of it, and, you know, on a higher level, not on necessarily reading, but that there are many different levels of these energies. Some are angels, some are higher spirits, some are masters. So they're all like the ascended masters. When we talk to them or when people channel them, I believe that they are an energy.
Yes.
I mean,
everything is an energy. I think this three-dimensional plane is the simplest of all places.
Yes. I think so too.
It's what you see is what you get here, but there's other levels, of course, that interact with this. So,
and I think that
I saw the book.
What
we just no, I just wanted to talk about the book a little bit. But what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say that when people channel, like if people channel Saint Germain, or if they see ascended being, I think that ascended being is coming down the same way that the angels come down into physical form so that we can recognize them.
Uh-huh. And art and statues and sculpture and photographs are a way to communicate with things beyond the physical plane, but manifest in...
Yes.
In a symbolic, representative way here.
Yes.
I see.
Yeah, thanks for putting that into other words.
So about the book now, I saw it, and there's a, what, about, what, 20? How many pictures in there?
There's 26 actual images in the book.
Right, and then you actually have devised a way of using this book as a sort of meditation.
Yes, because I teach people in the book. There's in the, I think it's in the epilogue. Maybe in the prologue or maybe the epilogue, because I haven't read them for a while. That how to actually tune into these images and communicate with the name with that particular image, and then that can then be a stepping stone into communicating with their own personal angels.
So you want to just tell us a little bit, though, about how we're looking, I mean, how we could do that? Do you want to lead us in a little? Or just help, if we're looking at, well, maybe we could go, people could go to your website. Do you have a website?
Yes, the book has a beautiful website that's been done, and it has a video that's really important for the people to see, because they'll get the sense of the book. The website is angelsofnewyorkbook.com.
angelsofnewyork.book?
No, book.
Oh, no, but, oh, book.
Book.com. angelsofnewyorkbook.com. So on the website are images from the book. The website is done really beautifully by my friend Roger Lanoux. And there are images, and then there is a video promo with some text and a few images and a beautiful piece of music.
Okay.
And that'll really give the viewer the sense of what happens in this book. And you can purchase the book, of course, on the website.
I'm looking for angelsofnewyorkbook.com, right?
Yes, correct.
www, right?
www.angelsofnewyorkbook.com.
Just looking for it. Oh, wait. Okay, got it now. Oh, okay. That is a nice website. Angels of New York.
And you can also, if you give us your name and email, you can get 5 minutes of the original music that will be on the with the ebook, which is part of what's on the video.
How much does the book cost?
The book is costing right now, the hardcover is $45, and the softcover is $35. After the book launch on the 14th or the 15th, I believe.
13th, I thought, at the Meta Center. Is it the 13th, the Meta Center book launch?
The book launch is on the 13th.
Yes.
At the Meta Center.
In New York, yeah.
That's another whole conversation that we should have.
Well, we will.
Yeah.
But and they people can get that book, your book.
They can get that book at the event, yes.
So let's talk a bit about how the book is. I mean, if someone was looking at these pictures, what would you suggest they do?
If someone is looking at what?
At the pictures in the book.
The
I mean, how
the
can they use it?
So how I suggest it is that you find a nice, quiet spot in your home. I mean, shouldn't be a lot of commotion going on. Nice, quiet spot. And take some deep breaths. Do a few minutes of grounding. It's really, 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 I can't say really enough, crucial that people ground.
What does that mean to ground, actually?
What?
What does that mean to ground?
What does it mean to ground? It means to center yourself in your body, like where you breathe, where you're feeling your breathing. Just go a little bit deeper and just feel that sense of inner peace in there. And then bring your awareness to your feet. And from your feet, allow your energy as best you can, whatever that means to you, just allow your energy just to sink from your feet through the floor, down through the building that you're in, how many ever floors. Just allow that energy just to drift down, not to drift off, but just to drift straight down through the floor into the earth and go down as far as you can. Some people can go to the center of the earth after they've practiced for a while. But it's just an energy going straight down. And then allow the energy to come back up into your body, bringing the earth energy up into you. And to stay connected.
Okay, so when we're staying connected and then we open the book.
Then you open the book.
And then what?
And then you just sit and look at the first image or open the book to any image. I love that practice, is to open a book, any book, to a certain page, see what you find. So open this book to a page of one of the angels. If there's text, turn and find the next picture. And just look at it. And stay connected to it. And close your eyes just a bit so you can sort of kind of fuzzy. And just breathe with it. Just breathe in and out and in and out. And then you could start asking questions. You may want to do this practice for a bit until you get attuned to it. But then
you ask a question of the angel, you're saying?
Ask a question of the angel.
Oh.
Like, who are you? Why are you here? You know, a lot of people do automatic writing, and that's how you do it. You ask a question and then just let your hand write. But with this, you just tune into this angel, and you don't even have to ask a question. You just tune into it and just feel whatever may want to come to you. Do it on a nonverbal level. Now, this is all very subtle. Mm-hmm. Some people get images or words in their head. Some people will get a feeling inside of them, around their heart, around their solar plexus. Solar plexus is where you breathe. So it would be like that, and you would start very slowly. And most people won't get anything in the beginning. And then they'll start getting a feeling. Because it's something you have to get used to. And other people who meditate a lot would get something right away. It just depends on where you are in your process.
Right. Well, I'm getting stuff as you're speaking and actually looking at some of these pictures. And what I get is that, you know, the whole idea of mirror neurons in the brain?
Yes.
Well, when we see somebody, we copy their expression. It's how children learn.
Ah.
They learn by mimicking their parents' face. And by mimicking the expressions, they then have the neurophysiology that gives them the feeling. And then they know what certain feelings are.
Uh-huh.
So looking at the faces of these angels creates a certain peace, because these angels are at peace. That actually is, I mean, the artist, of course, had to have that in them to first create that.
Yes.
And then the people who look at that, I get that piece in them, because we are instinctively mirroring everything in everybody, and we, on some level, we don't know if this is a statue or a person because it's a human face.
Yes.
And we, you know, there's this part of our brain that is ultra sensitive to faces, even the most abstract faces. That's why we see faces in clouds, because we are programmed to tune to faces. It's where we get information about the world, is by looking at other people's faces.
That's and fabulous.
So by looking at these faces of these beautifully peaceful and tranquil beings, whether they're angels or just whatever we want to call them,
mm-hmm.
we get a transcendent experience, because it stimulates a mimicking, a mirroring within our own physiology.
I
think you've given people a great gift. It's sort of like those pictures of Buddha, you know, they put you into a transcendent state.
I know. The moment you just look at it, you just go, oh.
That's because we're innately programmed to respond with our mirrored expression. But So then let me ask you, did all these angels have a similar expression, or were there a variation among these statues?
There's a great variation. In fact, in the book, I have two angels by Salvador Dali. They're black bronzes, but I had them printed in a silvery effect. And one of them is very, very spooky. And I wanted to put in the book, and it also had been said, put in some really scary angels, because there are scary angels, I mean, in mythology. And so it was very difficult to photograph the one, because they're very E.T.-like. And the one's face is not really a face, and it just has shadows on it, but it's very ominous. And so it was difficult to photograph it, and it's difficult for me to look at it today. But I wanted to also give that flavor that I think I talk about it someplace in the book, that sometimes angels have, you know, not so great energy, and they come and they do scare people. And so I didn't want it to all look lovey-dovey. I wanted to give it a complete, well-rounded effect. So those two angels, but they're also great pieces of art.
Well, isn't there that famous Rilke poem about all angels are terrible or terrifying? Do you know?
Yes, and I have in the book part of it's a very, very long poem, and I have in the book part of it, which actually a very close friend of mine translated from the German, and it's considered the most perfect translation of that Rilke poem, and it's in there, and it describes the beauty of angels, something about the blossoming deities coming out. I mean, it's just the words are just outstanding in that particular poem, but it doesn't talk about the terrifying ones, because it's not with an angel that's terrifying.
Well, I could read some of that poem. I just found it on the internet. It's from the first elegy of Rilke. It says, "Who, if I cried out, would hear me among the angels' hierarchy? And
yes,
even if one of them pressed me suddenly against his heart, I would be consumed in that overwhelming existence. For beauty is nothing but the beginning of terror, which we still are just able to endure, and so we are awed because it is serenely disdains to annihilate us. Every angel is terrifying, and as I hold myself back and swallow the call note of my dark sobbing, whom could we ever turn to in our need? Not angels, not humans, and already the knowing animals are aware that we are not really at home in our interpreted world." Anyway,
wow.
It goes on and on. So, I mean, it's a little different. I guess he's saying that even the angels can understand human needs in a way.
Definitely. You were asking earlier about angels incarnating, and some do and some don't. That the angels that the angels that incarnate, that they are the closest to I'm going to backtrack a minute. In the hierarchy, there's a whole history and hierarchy of angels. Hildegard von Bingen wrote all about it a long, long time ago, and there are a realm of the angels that are the closest to humans. And it is said that they are the ones, and a lot of the beings from Pleiades, are the ones that are helping us on Earth, that to get through our troubles and our strife and everything that's been going on for centuries. And they're not allowed to come down and do it for us. They have a contract. I mean, I don't know who's saying all this, but I'm told that this, it is being channeled from the Pleiadians, that they're telling us this. And so they are closest to us in I don't know what the scientific words would be, but in the hierarchy of when you leave your body, so to speak, there are beings and essences that are close to us on Earth, and then there are others that are very, very, very far away. So it would be that the ones that know what it is to be a human would be what you were speaking about. I don't know.
I see. I think the hierarchy of angels is also really part of the Old Testament layout, right?
It may be. I don't know that part, but I think it's
the cherubims and the archons.
Well, definitely. Yes.
And I think that's Old Testament stuff, and the angels, the archangels, I don't know what that really means. I mean, except there are many levels of existence beyond this one, for sure.
Correct.
And but what you're tuning into in this book are many levels of angels, then, right?
Yes. I wouldn't say that the angels that I'm tuning in this book are further out. I would say that they are closer. That they are closer to our realm than some of the further out ones. But maybe some of the further out ones are there, and I just don't know it. You know, I maybe haven't gotten deep enough into that.
I see. But overall, you think you're pretty certain that angels do exist and they're here to help humanity, right?
Absolutely. I am so certain. I would swear my life on it, of course.
Well, what can you tell us? One of your experiences, angelic type experiences?
Oh my goodness! Yes. Now I don't see physically in front of me. I'm a healer. I do energy healing, and in my training, I train with Barbara Brennan. Some people may know that. Some people may not. And in the very beginning of that training, she told us. What our different levels of perception were. And I have a direct knowing perception. So I know something. I know something, and then I go to it, and then I can feel it. So we have different levels. So what I'm saying this is because I don't see angels. I don't, when I channel information, I don't see the being or the thing in front of me. I sense it. So when I was writing something, I think I was working on a term paper. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I remember the light. I remember sitting at the desk in the room that I was in. I wasn't in my own apartment. I was in someone else's. I was visiting someone, and it was very late at night. It was all very quiet, and I was writing away, and all of a sudden, I felt, it's coming back again, I felt this heavy presence on my right-hand side. And then I felt very, very cold. And I felt air, cool air, moving back and forth in front of me and around me. And I knew that it was an angel. I knew that it was an angel essence. And from that, and that was maybe 25 years ago. And from that time on, whenever I'm stuck, or whenever I need to ask a question, I'll just say, I need a question, or I forget exactly what I will say. I'll say different things. I need help is what I will usually say. And I will feel the energy around me shift. And I will get information. So mine is different than, because some people do see angels.
Yes, this woman, Lorna Byrne, I talked to just a few weeks ago.
Yes. I also had a very profound experience. There was a project that was going on around on the internet that was a very close friend kind of project. People would send you an invitation to have the five archangels come and stay with you for 5 days.
Oh, yes, I heard about that. I wanted to do that.
Yes.
You open your door at a certain time, and they welcome.
Yes.
I want to do that. Tell me about that.
That was the most fabulous thing, because I have a fear of seeing things in my window, probably from childhood. I'm afraid the ETs are going to look in my window.
Probably why you have that fear, because
exactly.
A lot of ETs do look.
I'm sure it is.
But
so,
tell me about what
I don't even want to see an angel because I shouldn't say that. I probably would because it would be very nice. But anyway,
they knew
of my condition. So when I opened the door, I had not a terror, but just like an apprehension of, oh my God, am I going to see them? So I opened the door at the right time, and I had to say a little prayer as you open the door. And I said the prayer, and I felt something funny, and I stepped back automatically. I stepped back, way back, holding the door wide open. I noticed this afterwards. And in comes this flood of energy. It was just so filling. I mean, I felt like I was growing taller. And this energy came into my living room. It was soft. It was flowy. It was almost like flow off the ground, but it wasn't. It was very grounded.
Isn't it these beings? Yes.
Again, energy. I didn't see them, but I really sensed their presence. They took positions in different parts of my apartment. It was phenomenal because I didn't know what they were going to do. One stood on the west, one stood on the east, and they stood aside from the corners. And they were just like standing there waiting for instructions of what to do.
And what did you do?
And I just stood there and I wept.
Oh.
And then I spoke to them. And then on several occasions, because they say in the instructions that these angels don't have to stay in your house all the time. If you want to take them with you when you go places, you can do that. So I did. And that was really wild because when I left my apartment, because, you know, city apartments have regular size height doors.
But how do you carry angels? You put them in a little shopping bag?
No, they follow you. They follow because they're energy.
Okay.
They're energy or they're beings. I don't put them in my pocket. They're just, they walk, let me like your pet. They walk around with you.
Okay.
So I walk, I told them, I said, we're going to go outside. And I told them where we were going. I don't remember at that point what it was. And so, because what was so overwhelming was when I walked out the door, I just felt they were behind me. And I held the door for them. And then I closed the door and locked it. And I walked out. And I walked out the front door into the street. I felt this energy just explode up into the air. They got really tall and they lifted up off the ground and they flew over me. Now, I live next to a park, and I noticed that they flew right up over the trees and they were hovering over the park, and then they just followed me.
Wow.
It was wild. I mean, I will never, ever forget this experience.
Wait, these angels were with you for 5 days?
Yes.
So is that still going around? Can I put my name on a list to have them visit me?
I will find out from my friend in Sedona who had sent it to me if she has where they are at the moment. She may know because she knows the people in California who sent it to her.
Well, there has to be more than one group of angels that can visit people.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, they're the same angels. They are the same angels.
I mean, because they're angels not local. Can be... I mean, couldn't they just duplicate themselves or...
What?
Couldn't they just duplicate themselves?
That's what they do, because they can be everywhere at the same time.
I heard you have to clean up before you welcome the angels, like clean up your apartment and...
Well, you need to clean up to make it at least energetically welcoming. Like if you, I mean, you don't have to put everything away, but, you know, whatever you would feel if you were going to have guests over...
And did you feel you felt these angels for 5 days with you?
Yes.
And then did things change in your life?
I don't remember. Oh. Well, I was working on the book, so I'm sure.
They were helping you with the book.
I see. Well, that definitely they were. They have been. One of the things with this book is I've had to work late at night on it. Uh-huh. Because I can't work on it during the daytime because there's too much activity going on, and also I have to work and do other things. But at nighttime is when I was the most productive. And I truly, truly, truly believe it's because then the angels could be present. And they were totally guiding this book. Totally. Totally.
Well,
it's been asked of me which angels did I think or feel were the most prevalent or the most prominent in the work. And it was Michael and Gabriel.
These visiting angels, are how many come to visit you?
Five.
People? five at a time. And do they have certain names?
Yes,
or?
They have names. It's Metatron, who I didn't know about Metatron, but Metatron is the archangel that oversees the other four major archangels. So, you know, I didn't know that. But it's Metatron, Archangel Michael, Archangel Gabriel, Archangel Raphael, and Uriel. Now, I was talking to Uriel yesterday. I mean, this sounds so crazy. But I was talking to Uriel yesterday. So, you know, I said, I really don't know that much about you. I would really like to, and I feel bad about that, because I'm always focusing on the other three. Because Raphael is the healer, Gabriel is the artist, and the archangel over birth and creativity, and Michael is the one that gets things done. So, I mean, I say that, you know, generically, because everything else, you know, that has to happen, all the action, and also he is the warrior. He is the great, he is the grand protector of us.
And what is Uriel, then?
That I don't know. I have to find out more about Uriel.
I see. So these archangels are the beings that visit people?
Yes.
Wait, Metatron. And
Metatron,
who else
is Metatron is the overseer. And then there's Michael.
Michael.
Gabriel. Uh-huh. Raphael.
Oh, I see. The archangels. I see.
Exactly. And Uriel.
Okay. So, yeah, let me know. I mean, I guess people listening might even want to have angels visit them. Yes.
Yes, because it is a very profound experience. And you make a little altar, and you put an apple on the altar and a white flower. And I think
why?
That's
do they
feather.
Like apples? I mean, why?
It's just a gift. It's an offering. I have no idea. Oh, I know why. See, it's all coming back. Because the apple stays there for a few days, because you don't want to keep it out for 5 days because it could get funny. Because the apple gets imbued with this angel energy, and then you eat the apple.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh. I see. Interesting.
It's a very interesting process.
It sounds very interesting. Whether it's real or not, I think it's been created in the mind, so something happens to people when they at least are opening and preparing themselves for a kind of grand visit. They open their energies to something.
Yes, and open our energy to a higher place that we don't have to leave that higher place. I mean, we can stay in that energy. We don't have to drop down to because that's where we're all going. We're supposed to be there sooner than we are, but that's where we're going. But we can be in physical bodies and in that energy at the same time.
So back to you and your book. Did you plan to release it around Christmas as a Christmas present?
Yes, yes. I wanted it to be released last year, but it just wasn't finished. It wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. And because we had to do some changes to it. So because it is of this season, no matter what religion you are. And the thing that I found the most interesting when I first started the research is that angels were first acknowledged in Islam.
Oh, really?
In the Muslim text was the first time that angels were mentioned.
I thought they were mentioned in the Old Testament.
That was before the Old Testament. That's what the book says.
I don't know about that.
I have had some discussions with some of my friends about that. I know. But that's what Godwin, Malcolm Godwin says in his book. And it's called Angels and Endangered Species, which is a fabulous book. But that's what he said. So, I mean, I was shocked.
Well, just because he says it doesn't mean it's true, I would ask.
Well, I know. He did his research, too. I'll have to look into that further, but I'm saying.
I think the Torah was around long before.
I'm sorry?
I think the Torah, the Hebrew book, was around.
Now, because he quotes Zoroaster, and supposedly Zoroaster was before. I can't imagine that, but I don't know. I don't know.
Before Moses.
I don't know the numbers.
Maybe Zoroaster was before Moses.
Or Zoroaster was before the Old Testament. I can't imagine.
Maybe the written text of Zoroaster was around before.
But Zoroaster. So supposedly Zoroaster, and some of your listeners may know about this more than I do. Some that Zoroaster was like the first religion or something.
I think he was the first God man, not the first divine being to manifest on the earth plane or something like that. Yes.
But anyway, back to your question about did I plan it for Christmas? Yes. I mean, it's an all year round book, and it's also an amazing tour guide for New York. I mean, you know, people who don't know the city can take this book and can take the soft cover, and because in the book it says where all the angels are, and they can, you know, go around and see these wonderful places in the city and learn more about the city. And not only that, with each angel, I researched the location and the artist and got some amazing stories about what went on when the artist was creating the piece of work. Now, not with every single one, because there wasn't that, the information wasn't available.
You should probably do this in other cities, right?
Go to Paris. I've already started in Rome.
I think Paris has a lot of beautiful angel statues.
Yes, that's my next stop is Paris. I mean,
then,
it's on my list.
Where else? London, I suppose. Berlin, I think.
I don't know if London has that many angels, but I would do London. But I understand that Los Angeles, of course, has a whole project about modern angels going on right now, and I don't know what that's about. But I have to.
Los Angeles is the city of angels, isn't
it? Yes, I know. But they've done something with modern artists have done something with that out there. But there are, and I also have some angels from other cities in the United States. So people now have been sending me things. So if any of you listening know of any cities that have angels, please let me know.
Well, where tell them where to send something.
Yes. My email address is sylvia@angelsofnewyorkbook.com.
Do you have a favorite angel, like us, that you've seen a statue or that you could say was your
favorite? Oh, well, you know, they're like your children. I mean, you know, probably one of my favorites is the one that's on the back cover, and she's hanging actually in my bedroom, and she's hung very well-known healers' offices. And she is a child angel, but she's a baptismal font, and she's in a church, and she's very, very lifelike. And I call her Elsie's angel because she was sculpted by Elsie Ward, who was a very famous sculptor in the 1800s, and she won all kinds of awards, and she worked with Augustus St. Gaudens, and just it was a very rich, rich artistic period. Mm-hmm. And so I think she's probably one of my favorites. But there's so many that are my favorite.
My favorite New York City angel, I think, is the one in Central Park.
Yes, she's just exquisite.
Yeah, 72nd Street. Yes,
72nd Street Crosstown. Yes, and she's in the book. And she has a name, an official name. She's called Angels of the Waters.
Oh.
Because she was commissioned by the city to have a fountain there when they built the first reservoir for New York, when the waters were coming down from Croton, because there was a cholera epidemic, and they had to bring in fresh water.
Oh.
And so this angel, that's what she was for. So she has a wonderful history in that wonderful story in the book, but she's Angels of the Water.
So the angel was there to bless the waters.
What?
The angel blessed the water.
Yes. And that's from the Bible, that the angel came down and stirred the waters on a certain day. And that quote is in the book.
Well,
With each angel and the story, I have either a poem or a quote or a little piece of prose that is significant for that particular angel, which is very, very moving, some of them.
Well, I think you're also bringing a spiritual awareness to, well, at least New York City. People say there's not enough spirituality here, but you're saying or showing people it's everywhere.
Yes, yes, it is. Yes.
It's very exciting. I'm getting, as we talk, I get more of the inspiration you had and the enthusiasm and how consumed. You've been with this project. I mean, I've known you for
and the last 2 years years have been morning, noon, and night. Just total consuming of this. There's a woman by the name of Celia Fenn, and people can Google her.
I met her. Yes.
Yes. She's a lovely woman. She channels Archangel Michael, and she told me, and she's actually starting a foundation in the city next year, I believe. And she told me in a personal meeting that Archangel Michael, well, Archangel Michael has been overseeing this book through from the very beginning, which I didn't know, but she told me that. And also that, but the more importantly, that Michael, and he's been tapping on my head to say this, that New York, Archangel Michael says that New York is fastly becoming, this is hard for me to believe, but the spiritual center of the world, of the world.
I believe that. For some reason, I think that's...
And he says that we, you know, we've got a lot of work to still do, but that people are going to be flocking here because of our energy. And that just, you know, just... My heart just sings when I hear that.
Well, and I always liked this place. I mean, it's...
Me too. I can't leave. I keep trying to leave, and I, you know, keep...
It's good
staying.
To leave once in a while, but yes.
Right, yes, but I mean permanently. But
yes.
He says that he's spending a lot more time here.
Michael's spending more time here?
Yes, Archangel Michael is spending more
time. I'm sure he has a nice apartment. Why not?
I'm sure he does. He says it's very high uptown.
But how do you know this? Where did you, did this something you channeled
no,
or someone?
No, this, no, Celia Fenn told me that.
About New York and the angels. And
yeah, about New York and the spirit. Yes, those were right out of her mouth when she was channeling Archangel Michael to me.
Okay, well... I it makes sense to me. Thank you.
Right. And she's starting a foundation because of that and calling it Angels in New York.
Oh. Yes. Isn't she, is she Irish or Scottish or something?
She's from South Africa, but she's English. She's, the South Africans are British, so she's...
Right.
She's, and
Dutch.
There, where
she, is she? Is she still in South Africa?
She's in Cape Town, South Africa.
But she's been here in New York last couple of years.
Yes, she was supposed to come, but she had to go someplace else or something. And so I'm sure she'll be coming again soon.
Right. Well, Sylvia, it's been very exciting talking to you. And what would you like to leave people with as far as the book and wisdom?
So what I would like to leave with you is that I already gave them the website. I'll do that again in a minute. But the book launch event, it's not a party. It's going to be a spiritual happening at the Meta Center. We are going to have, and it's on December the 13th from 7:30 to 9:30. And Jody Sirota is going to be part of it, Marianne Savino, and Kate Loy. And they all have very different talents. And they will all be sharing. They're doing this for this book, to launch this book, their belief in this book. So there will be an angel invocation, and we're going to be doing angel activations. We're going to be playing a lot of alchemy crystal bowls. And Kate plays the gong. She's a gong goddess. And that when she plays that gong, your whole body just absolutely lifts off the ground. And then I'm going to be doing one of my guided meditations. I'm going to be doing it with the archangels, and there will be messages from the archangels, and then we will be doing a whole musical blessing at the end with our voices and the crystal bowls and the gong, which will be very, very, very powerful. I'm just getting so excited, I can't believe it. So it's all about basking in the healing powers.
Well, angels are healing, and
yep.
So that's the Meta Center. Yes, for those in New York, that's 214 West 29th Street.
Yes, thank you.
16th floor, between 7th and 8th. You can also look on my website when it's back up. I think my website should be up like today.
Oh, good. I hope it is.
NewRealities.com. And then your website is AngelsOfNewYorkBook.com.
Correct. AngelsOfNewYorkBook.com.
So
and if you want to get in touch with me, you can get in touch with me from the website also. But you can, my email is sylvia@angelsofnewyorkbook.com.
So this is more than just a pretty picture book. This is a tool for tapping into our own inner awakening.
Yes, it's really a transformational tool, but it will appeal to the architectural community. Mm. The man who wrote the introduction to the book was a landmarks commissioner, and he also was president of the National Arts Club. And
oh,
so,
who is that?
The National Arts Club is on 20th Street in Gramercy Park.
Who's the person you're talking about?
I'm talking
Alden?
About Tom Pike.
Oh, I thought you meant Alden.
Oh, no, not the older, not the one before. No. They're gone. No, this is was the new one. The new one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and this was just in the last year.
That's exciting.
It's very, very exciting. But it's really a transformational tool. And to learn to communicate. And it's also to learn to communicate with ourselves and our higher being, our higher self. And to really get in tune.
It's a beautiful thing you've done.
Thank you.
And I'm happy to see how excited you are about putting it out there in the world.
Yeah. It's sort of hard to believe.
No, believe it. You've done it.
I am believing it. But it's really an architectural book. I mean, if I hadn't photographed this book, I would say these are the best architectural pictures I've seen in a long time. Because the printing of the book is just so remarkable. I was shocked when it finally got finished. Because I was worried for a while. You know, you always worry about those things. But the quality.
All right, Sylvia, thank you for being a guest here.
You're very, very welcome. Thank you for doing this with me. Thank you.
Thank you. No, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to getting a copy of the book.
You will. You will have one very soon.
And so people who are listening can also buy this as a beautiful, beautiful Christmas present. They can order it online, right?
Absolutely. Or any kind of present.
Any kind of present, but it would be a nice sort of Christmas
present.
Definitely
for Christmas. Definitely.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll see you this week, Sylvia.
Yes, we will. Thank you, Alan, so much.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Sylvia Moss, who's put together a beautiful book of angels around New York. And like she said, it is a meditation and invocation and activation. And these are beautiful pictures. And just by looking at these faces, there's an experience that can happen. So it is, like I said, a beautiful Christmas present or any kind of present. And thank you for listening tonight. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, go to my website, newrealities.com, or email me at newrealities@earthling.net.